Good morning, brethren. Did anybody get a chance to watch the opening ceremonies for the Olympics? Well, what an amazing, I think for me, well, first off, it doesn't happen enough. I could do the Olympics every year as far as I'm concerned, but it is just so amazing to watch the youth, you know, our athletes from all four corners of the world getting together, sitting together, joking and laughing, and it's an amazing sight when you see that entire group together. And I don't know if millennial is the right way to put it, but there's just that opportunity in these opening ceremonies to see such an incredible attitude. And you have to think that God's finding some joy in seeing that at some level. But anyway, I'm digressing here. First, good morning, everyone. I have had Passover on my mind quite a bit here recently for a lot of different reasons, but mainly because it's only 9 weeks away. It's hard to believe time just continues to fly. Each year I try to step back and just try to find some way that this year I can make my preparation for Passover just a little bit more effective. I try and go to the church's website. You know, every year more and more information becomes available for us to have and to use to grow stronger, to learn more details. And, of course, we pray and ask God to help us to be involved in that also. Three Wednesdays ago, Mr. Myers had a Bible study. I don't know how many of you are able to, with your computer system, stream the Bible studies on Wednesday night, but they're really, really helpful. And they also archive them so you can, go and see them if you can't be there Wednesday evening for whatever reason. They're archived and you can go back and listen to them whenever you want to. Mr. Myers brought to my light, or brought to light for me, that like in everything that we do, everything that we study and the actions that we have regarding the church, there has to be balance. And he brought to my attention in this Bible study that the Passover truly is about Jesus Christ. And that is the essence of Passover. And I know that's the fact, but for me, I had to ask myself if I was maybe preoccupying my time with self-examination and maybe not giving a balanced amount of time to building my relationship with Jesus Christ and taking the time to study Him specifically in the context that, you know, we're to reflect Jesus Christ in our life. I know self-examination is, you know, it's, you know, the core of what we do. But I had to ask myself if maybe there was an imbalance for me. Maybe I was spending so much time looking within myself, rooting things out, which is important, and not enough time trying to strengthen my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I understand that Passover is, you know, it's a very personal thing. What I want to try to do today is I want to convey just a few points that you might consider in your preparation for the Passover this year. Just a few points. And as I was saying, I know that preparing for the Passover, it's very personal. And I liken it to fasting. You know, fasting is something that we do also. It's very personal. It's between us and God. It's something that we choose to do internally. So I think that we need to be sure that Christ's example is in the forefront and that there's a balance in that particular circumstance. So this first bit of my message, in the spirit of preparing for the Passover, I want to challenge you with this first thing, this balance I'm talking about with getting to know Jesus Christ, with trying to understand Him in a stronger way. I mean, I know that these questions that I'm going to ask you to maybe dwell on in this time period between between now and Passover. It may be easy to give an off-the-cuff answer for these. But what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this with you also, is I'm going to dig in and dig into these particular things. So for those of you that are taking notes, maybe you could write down, what was Jesus Christ's? And then these five things. Number one, what was Jesus Christ's message? What was Jesus Christ's message? Number two, what was Jesus Christ's life? And what was his life? What was Jesus Christ's work? Number three, what was Jesus Christ's work? Number four, what was Jesus Christ's example for us? What was his example in the scriptures? And fifth and final, and again, I'm going to be doing these with you. I'm not going to go back and answer these questions. I think this is something that Mr. Myers really enlightened me. And for me personally, I don't know if this is the same for you. Maybe it is for some of you. I know that we all talk about it quite a bit, about examining ourselves. That is a central aspect. But number five is promises. What were the promises Jesus Christ gave us? And also, what promises did Jesus Christ fulfill? Which will even give you a deeper introspective. And as I said earlier, and I know that self-examination is also a part of what we do each year. And then earlier I likened it to fasting. And this is just coincidental, but I wanted to use this example. God inspires the writers of the Bible to teach us in different ways. And for me, the example that we have in Isaiah 58, where God specifically shows us this way to fast. And again, this is just coincidental. Not that fasting isn't a good thing to do preparing for the Passover. I'm not negating that. But in Isaiah 58, God gives us these specific examples. And he says, this is how you don't fast. This is how you do fast. And maybe he doesn't go into, the inspiration isn't a real deep inspiration, but he does give two reflective circumstances that for me, that's the way I like to learn. I like to see those examples. I like to be able to, in my mind, say, well, is that attitude? Is that a choice? What are all the little attributes that are in those particular circumstances? It's a principle. And it's a principle that I like. We have to remember that the Passover is all about Jesus Christ, and that we're the undeserved recipients of his crucifixion, and really beneficiaries of his crucifixion and his resurrection. So I'd also like, in this time period that leading up to the Passover, that we look at some examples that help us on that plane, that we are examining ourselves, and in doing that, go to the book of Hebrews and look at the chapters 5, 6, and 7. Now, these are chapters that require us as members of God's church to grow. It requires that we are progressing. And in 5, 6, and 7, it gives specific examples. It shows behaviors. It shows different circumstances. And in chapter 6, it's telling us that these are the things that we should have down pat. When we start reading Hebrews 6, these are the things that we should look at. And these are the things that, as members of God's church, we should have down pat. And I think it's also, as far as the context is concerned, it's important that you guys remember that Hebrews 5, 6, and 7 was written in 50 A.D. So this is a decade and a half beyond Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. So, these people have been under God and Jesus Christ's understanding, Jesus Christ as a result of the new covenant, for, a decade and a half. So this, these questions that are ringing out in Hebrews 5, 6, and 7 are things that we can use as reflective information for ourselves. Also, we can go to 2 Peter 3. It's a good chapter to go to. It's one of those chapters that ground us, that we need to read. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to at least learn from the teachings, but also reflect. And for those of us that are husbands and wives, in 1 Peter 3, it's a very good place to go to just refresh our memory, to remember that we do have responsibilities to one another, and that, you know, within the context of preparing for the Passover, that when we go into the Passover as a husband and wife, that we're two that make one, that we're going in there together as one. The last point I would like to have you consider is we need to not be discouraged. Now, years are different. Some years it may be more difficult for us. Some years maybe going through those pre-Passover things. But don't be discouraged. And in fact, we need to remember to use the corresponding scriptures, the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we need to use those scriptures to be encouraged. We need to remember things like Moses, how he interceded for the Israelites. You know, God was ready to just eliminate them, just ready to eliminate them. But Moses came to God and offered his name from the Book of Life to save the people, to protect his people. It's an intercession that we, as New Testament Christians, as God's people, can also reflect on Christ's intercession for us. You know, what an incredible miracle that was, that is for us. You know, we look at each of us we've studied over the years the Israelites, and you know, we know those things that they've done. And we should be able to find encouragement in that. I mean, we should be able to look. You know, they're basically, you know, they're called in different areas stiff-necked and hard-headed in translation. And, you know, I think each of us asks our questions, you know, how, after seeing that miracle, can they behave this way? But, you know, just think about this, though. You know, the Bible scratches the surface and gives us great examples to look at. But there was over 1 million Israelites. So just think about, you know, over 1 million people together and how many things were actually happening throughout that 1 million people. And Moses, I could have never held my head because I think I'd have been yelling, maybe stamping my foot a little bit with some of these things. You know, Moses was willing to give up his name in the Book of Life to intercede for his people, just as Christ has done for us, allowed us to go to him, to take our sin to him, to ask for help for him, to read about his example so that we can put that in our lives. And an important favorite verse of mine, and wrapping things up here, and I think we can most definitely find encouragement with this, because it's something that I believe God's church has that no other church has, is this weaving that we have between the Old and the New Testament. You know, some people just disqualify the Old Testament. God has blessed us with this knowledge that weaves those two testaments together so that we can have them in our lives to keep us up, to lift us up. Even at the worst times, we can go back and see, well, you know, David did this, or Paul did this, or John did this. And those are things that we can say that, you know, but with God's help, through Jesus Christ, we can beat it. We can overcome it. The scripture I'm talking about is when John the Baptist recognizes the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Paschal Lamb. In John 1:29, he says, John saw Jesus coming towards him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is just an amazing picture for us. He takes what we know and what we understand from the Old Testament, and he blends those two things together in recognition that there's going to be a change, but it's a change that affects the entire world. Just it can affect the entire, and it will at some point in fact affect the entire world. So brethren, in closing, I hope that you'll take a little time and just at least consider these things I brought to your attention. Try to prepare yourself for the Passover the best that each of us can. Again, it's a very personal thing. We all are going to approach this the best that we can. But in that state of mind and in that preparation, I just hope that we all have a very fine Passover this year.